Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
When the confusion of culture clouds your vision and your perspective, the Word of God gives clarity. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to discover 2020 vision by reclaiming God's perspective on today's circumstances. Stay with us. Like the busyness of our lives and the chaotic nature of our culture at large tends to draw us into somewhat of a cloudy perspective of our lives and our purpose and why we're even here and what our lives are even about. And if you're like me, that's frustrating. But when you come to the Word of God, God tends to draw away all of the clouds and give you crystal clear perspective on what's important and what really matters. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. We're going to gain 2020 vision today from the Word of God, a series by Pastor Chappell that's designed to help you have God's vision and God's perspective on the priorities of life. 2020 vision is the title of this series, and we're looking forward to every step in the journey. If you miss one of the messages, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts of Daily in the Word, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. By the way, we have a gift for you when you call or write to us this month. I'll tell you about that after today's message. But first, here's Paul Chappell to introduce today's message.
The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3 that we shall see Jesus. One of my favorite gospel songs has those very words, "We shall see Jesus." In fact, many of the songs of our faith speak of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friend, I trust today as we turn to the Word of God that your heart will be encouraged to know that one day everyone who has put their faith in Christ will see Him face to face.
The word "behold" means something wonderful is about to be unveiled. Whenever we see the word "behold" in the Bible, God has a very special announcement that He's about to make. And so look in your Bible this morning, chapter 3 and verse 1, and you'll see that word, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." God says, "I have something I want you to understand now. I want something that you need to perceive. I want you to see this and apply it in your life." And what God is going to speak about in this text is the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants us to realize that God began loving us before this world began, and that that love was manifested when Jesus Christ came, but that that love will only continue on into eternity. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about Jesus coming again. In fact, more than a fourth of the Bible is really addressing predictive prophecy, telling us about things that are going to happen. And of all the things that were prophesied, nothing is mentioned more than the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 1,800 times in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again a second time. Of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are 300 references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, 23 of the 27 books of the New Testament mention specifically that Jesus is coming again, and for every one prophecy about His first coming in the manger, there are 8 prophecies about His second coming in the air for all of those who believe. And so this morning, that's why the Bible says, behold, there's something here that we need to be aware of. Now, there are three great truths for every believer to behold right here in this passage. And I want you to see them with me this morning. The first truth that we're going to see is the manifestation of God's love. God says, the first thing I want you to behold, the first thing I want you to get a hold of is the fact that I love you. You know, really, that's what the Bible is. It's a love letter. The Bible is God's love letter telling us that He loves us and that He died for our sins. Now, notice, if you will, the Bible says in verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, notice that phrase there, if you would, what manner. Behold, what manner of love. God says, I want you to behold this manner, this quality of love, this sort of love. Sometimes we talk about people's mannerisms and we'll say, well, in their culture, this is their manner. Or in their way, that's the way they do things. Well, God says, what manner of love are we going to talk about today? The manner of love we're talking about today is from heaven. It is God's way of loving. It's not man's way of loving. It's the manner of love that came down to us from heaven. Now, what kind of love has God given to us? What kind of manner is this love? Well, there are three characteristics of it. Notice, first of all, it is a bestowed love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now, to bestow something means to give something of one's own accord. It's something that is given freely. It's something that is given lovingly. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, think of that. But God commendeth His love toward us. How many of you are glad that God has bestowed or commended His love to us? It's not something that He just felt but never shared. Let's say, fellas, that you work for 12 months at work, your company does well, your boss comes to you at the end of the year and he says, hey, you have done a great job this year at work, and I've just noticed your department is up, sales are up, and just fantastic. And he says, look, I want to give you a $500 bonus for the great job you've done. And so you take that bonus and you come home and you say to your wife, you say, sweetheart, I received a $500 bonus for this past year's performance, and I just want you to know, sweetheart, that I understand without your caring for the children and without your making meals and without you doing all the things that you do, there's no way I could have received this bonus. And sweetheart, just to show you how much I appreciate you and how I recognize my need for you, I just want you to know, sweetheart, that of this $500, I'm going to give you five of those dollars. Now, after she hit you over the head with a frying pan, and after you woke up a little bit, you would realize that you had not bestowed much love on her. You left her wondering about her importance. But how many of you are glad today we don't have to wonder about how much God loves us? He's bestowed His love upon us. 1 John 4 says it this way, just a page over in your Bible, 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for sins. Listen, it's no big deal that we love God. We should love God. The amazing thing is that He ever loved us in the first place, that He displayed and manifested His love. So it is a bestowed love. Secondly, I want you to notice in this verse that it is a personal love. Behold, what manner of love is bestowed upon us. And notice what it says there. It says that we should be called the sons of God. Now, how much more personal can you get? God says, I'm not just going to tell you I love you. I'm not just going to send my Son, Jesus, to die on the cross and shed His blood. But I want you who receive Jesus to be my sons and daughters. I want to make this personal. I want you to be a part of the family of God. We are called the sons of God. We are literally here called the adult sons with legal heirship. We are not just some kind of a stepchild out there that no one really wants to claim. We are the children of God, claimed and loved by God. An old pastor was preaching years ago, and he had never been to college and never had a lot of training. He was what you might call a country preacher. And he stood up and he read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He said, you know, when I look at this verse, there are two things that strike me. He said, the first thing that strikes me is that when God loves, he loves the whole world. And when God gives, he gave his only begotten Son. My friend, it doesn't get much greater than that. That God would love the whole world and that God would give his only begotten Son. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And here we see that God's love is a personal love. Well, notice it's a bestowed love. It's a personal love. But I want you to see, thirdly, sometimes it's a misunderstood love. You know, the world doesn't understand how we feel about God and how he feels about us. Sometimes your friends, sometimes your neighbors, they don't understand. Why does he go to church like that? Why do they give to missionaries like that? I mean, who cares what happens in India? I mean, why are these people so involved in all of this? Well, the Bible says in verse number 1, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." You see, the world doesn't even recognize what's going on here today. This is not something exciting to them. Now, for me, it's a thrilling thing to meet another Christian. I might be in an airport. I might be in a foreign country. I might meet somebody that visits right here at our campus today. And they might say, "I'm from such and such place, and I have accepted Christ as my Savior." And you know what? That's awesome to meet somebody who knows Christ as Savior. And there's an immediate bond, and we're thankful for Jesus Christ. But the Bible says the world doesn't understand that. They don't comprehend the kind of love that we share. You know, Jesus said in John 15:17, "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Jesus said sometimes the world won't appreciate the love we have. Sometimes the world will actually hate Christians. And I find that there is an increasing disdain in our culture for people who follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. In other words, you're going to follow Jesus and follow this Bible, you're going to be the weirdo. And that's why some people don't want to get saved and some people don't want to follow Christ, because they'd rather party and live a wicked, sinful life than follow the Lord Jesus. But when you start following Jesus, the world may hate you. You know, sometimes here in our city fathers have shown appreciation for our church, and sometimes people in the community have done that as well. But I want to tell you what, that's not the norm. There are many cities who hate the things of God. There are many places in this country taking God's name out of the public schools, out of the courthouses, and there is a growing disdain for the love of God. Nevertheless, for those of us who have experienced it, it's a wonderful thing to know how much God loves us. His love has been bestowed upon us, and we have been called the sons of God. Now, notice then not only the manifestation of God's love, but notice secondly, the anticipation of God's people. The anticipation of God's people. Now, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have received the love of God. And if you have received Christ as your Savior, then there is something, my friend, that you and I should be anticipating and looking forward to. That's found right here in verse number 2. Notice what it says. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's what the song was about a minute ago. We shall see Jesus. Notice that phrase in verse 2. When he shall appear. So the anticipation of the Christian is the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he shall appear, we look forward to his appearing, to his coming back for his children. Now, Titus speaks of it in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, where it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us and purify us unto himself, a peculiar people zealous of good works." Paul the Apostle said it this way. He said in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give, and shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing." Paul said, I look forward to his appearing. Paul said, I'm going to receive a crown of righteousness when he appears. But it's not just me. It's for everyone who loves his appearing. Now, my friend, do you look forward to his appearing? Is it something you think about? Do you believe that Jesus will come again and the believers will go with him and that unbelievers will be left behind? You say, I just don't understand all of that. My friend, it's in the Bible that Jesus Christ will come again. And the question is, do you look forward to his appearing? Like the little boy who was in the kitchen and his mom was making some cookies and boy, they smelled good. And he wanted to have some of those cookies. His mom said, son, I'm going to go out in the backyard now. And I'm going to tell you right now, do not touch the cookies. Do not touch the cookies. And so she went in the backyard to do some things. Sure enough, right as she came back into the kitchen, she saw that little rascal reaching his hand up and grabbing some of those cookies. Now here's the situation. The boy loved his mom. He just didn't love her appearing. The question is not that you love Jesus, but do you love the fact that he's coming again? Are you living in such a way that when he comes, you'll be delighted to see him? You'll be happy when Jesus comes again. What we anticipate as Christians is the appearing of Jesus Christ. But notice, not only do we anticipate his appearing, but secondly, we anticipate our transformation. Now, let me show you a mind-boggling phrase here in verse number 2. Notice what it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, notice this, we shall be like him. Now, let's say that together. We shall be like him. Now, some of you say, there ain't no way I can be like that. Pastor, you don't know my husband. You just don't understand. We can't be like him. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We shall be like him. Now let's delve into that just a little bit. Look in your notes there, Philippians 3:20. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So let's see what the Bible says about this. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So here again, God says, when we see Jesus Christ, he's going to change our vile body. Now someone says, I do not like my body referred to as a vile body. I eat vitamins, I brush my teeth, I exercise. My body is not a vile body. Your body is exactly what the Bible says your body is. Now, it doesn't matter what age you are today. The fact of the matter is all of our bodies need some help. Any of you ever have a headache? Any of you ever have a cavity? Any of you wearing glasses or contact lenses today? Do we need to go on with the list? We don't have time for your rheumatoid arthritis and your sore hip and your this and your that. You'll have to tell it to your friend at lunch after church. The fact is we all have problems. Our bodies are not immortal. They are quite mortal. But the Bible says one day our bodies will be changed and one day we will be fashioned unto his glorious body. What a great thought that is. I like the story of the old farmer that took his family to the city for the first time. They left the farm and they went down to the city and they saw all the big buildings and all the cable cars and all the trains and they were in awe. And they went inside the lobby of a tall building and the mother went over. She was looking at some jewelry in a case and the dad and his son, they were just standing there looking at everything. After a while, they noticed these two big doors that opened up. And as the two big doors opened up, kind of an elderly, heavier, disheveled type of a gal walked inside and the doors closed. On top of the doors, a thing went from one end to the other and it came back. The doors opened and a beautiful, thin young lady walked right out. And the farmer looked at that and he said, Son, quick. Go get your mother. Let's run her through this thing. Now, that's not exactly how it works. There won't be any special machine. There won't be a time machine. There won't be any science fiction type of thing like that. It will simply be the moment Jesus Christ appears. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, and we will be instantly changed according to the Word of God. In fact, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's just look a little more about this fact of having a transformed body when Jesus comes again. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul says, Behold, I show you a mystery. He says, I'm going to tell you something great. He says, we shall not all sleep. That means we're not all going to die before Jesus comes again. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, that is not just talking about the church nursery right now, all right? Sometimes we call that the theme verse for the church nursery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about Christians. We will not all die before Jesus comes again. Some people will be living when Jesus comes again, but we will all be changed. How will that happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality, because when we get to heaven, we're not going to be dying and decaying there. It's a forever kind of a place. We're going to have a brand new body for the brand new home where we will spend all of eternity. Now, sometimes the truth of this just comes home in ways we weren't really expecting. I was with my younger brother, Stephen, this past week, and we sat down at a table to eat. And sometimes you get these smart alecky, giddy waitresses. They'll walk up and they're kind of in a mood, you know, and she walked up, she looked at me, she looked at him, she looked back at me, she said, let me guess, you're the father and he's the son. There went her tip. I mean, my brother laughed for 10 minutes. He called me yesterday to ask me if I need any Geritol or anything like that, you know. He thought that was so great. But you know, the fact of the matter is that our bodies are mortal. And I mean, we're losing our hair. We get cavities. But one day, we're going to have a changed body and we'll no longer need those vitamins. We'll no longer need all of that medical care. And the fact is, our bodies will be immortal. They will not age anymore.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and the Daily in the Word radio broadcast coming to you from Lancaster, California, where Pastor Chappell serves as the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. The series is 2020 Vision. We're discovering God's perspective and God's vision for our daily lives. If today's message has encouraged you and you'd like to hear it again, or perhaps refer a friend, or listen to recent messages in this series 2020 Vision, you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org is a wonderful stop for spiritual resources to encourage your walk with Christ. You can listen to recent broadcasts, subscribe to a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, or subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it at your leisure and at your convenience. Perhaps consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org. Well, before we wrap up the program and share a gift with you, here's Pastor Chappell with a word of greeting.
I want to thank you as a listener of Daily in the Word for your prayers and encouragement toward this ministry. We do our very best daily to spread the Word of God across this nation on many different radio stations, including yours. But I'd like to encourage you today to take a moment and visit dailyintheword.org. You'll see some great Bible study helps there. You'll also see a place where you can click to donate toward the ministry of Daily in the Word. We want to keep the Word of God coming to your station and coming into your area. We believe that Jesus is the answer and the Word of God is infallible truth. If you'd like to support us in this great cause, let me encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org. Find the button that says donate, and we would be grateful for your gift to this ministry.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chappell. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chappell and several guest speakers, and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day. Thank you.